I love watching you hover the record button as we're talking to go, is this something we can record or not?
I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
Yes, you do, constantly.
Well, I want to put you in like a goofy, this makes Jared look silly spot.
That's fair.
Not this trashes Jared's reputation spot.
Not Jared is telling intimate secrets of his life that we forget to edit out, maybe. Whoops.
Welcome to the Survivor Turnback Time Podcast, the only Survivor podcast that... Whoa. Did you just interrupt the Jeff? The Jeff doesn't abide. I'm your host, Stephen Labine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared! Let's go.
I'm just remembering his face when Jason did it, like, what?
His big eyes give me life. When he's genuinely surprised in a... Oh, shit. Okay.
Kind of surprised they kept it in.
I am too.
I'm sure that's not the first time something like that has happened. No, maybe it is.
It might be the first time that someone dares stop him in his format.
This season's so good.
You having fun, Jared?
Oh, yes. I mean, at this point, again, many more episodes to go, but it goes Micronesia, Power Gap, Amazon, continue the list.
Micronesia, Power Bottom.
God damn it. What was I going to say? Oh.
I'm sorry, I distracted you with the Power Bottom.
It's fine. I did look up the Micronesia Palau thing. Micronesia is a nation of a bunch of small island countries, Palau being one of them.
Okay.
So it'd be like having, it was like I mentioned, it'd be like having it's Survivor Kenya rectangle. And then Survivor Africa and putting it in the same place.
Yeah. Square rectangle situation.
Sure.
That is
more like how Illinois is America, and then you do one that's Illinois, Survivor Illinois, Survivor America, shot in Illinois.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I guess when you put it that way, the thing that I said is not correct.
That's why I felt the need to say the same thing I said again, using freedom units.
Using straight up America.
Not a great place to be right now.
No, it's really not.
The funny thing is, by the time this comes out, who knows what that could be referencing?
My God, how quickly we piss off our neighbors just for the hell of it.
And then walk it back anyway.
Are we walking it back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we flinched. And we should have. We shouldn't have done anything anyway.
We shouldn't have.
But, yeah, no. 30
but also, Mexico flinched in a way that I didn't think it should have.
Yeah, performatively. It's interesting. I'm really dialed into that part of it specifically because of my job.
Okay.
Because
yeah, that
I'm in
sense.
Logistics. So... There's been a lot of conversations about this. Now, I'm not in the global forwarding side. Like, I'm domestic North America only. But notice I said North America.
Uh-huh.
I do have customers in Canada. I have less in Mexico. But I have quite a few in Canada or that have locations in Canada.
This is putting you on the spot. And feel free to say no. What would a tariff do to you? Like, every single thing that... you're shipping from Canada to here?
We're not the buyers.
Okay.
But it would impact our customers. So, like, my job is just, like, getting the trucks.
Uh-huh.
There isn't a tariff on the trucks. It's just the stuff in the trucks.
Right.
But that does mean it's going to cost them more to get it there. And then, the end good costs more.
Right. I feel like that's what the misconception is going on right now, that, like... You charge a tariff to a country, and then the country pays the tariff, but really, it's the person who's importing is paying this tariff by way of higher price.
Not to mention, as somebody in supply chain, carrier companies and drivers and all of that love to use any excuse, and rightfully so. I'm a big supporter of get that bag, ethically. Sell out. It's complicated.
Get the ethical bag.
I hate capitalism, but we do live under it. So I understand people advocating for themselves and all that. Yeah. But anyway, carrier companies and drivers and all that will use any excuse to try to charge more money to drive things. And they should. And the trucking industry is super fucked up. But even if it doesn't directly impact them, be like, oh, well, there's less stuff coming out now. So actually, we pulled drivers from that area. So now we have to, you have to pay more because we have less drivers. And that's probably bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
or could do.
Gonna play that game.
Yeah. Yeah, every new day is interesting and horrible.
Every new day is a waking hell.
Yeah.
I am a little afraid every morning pulling up news and saying, all right, what shit's going on today?
I am somebody that is pro, like, drug legalization, like, broadly speaking. I mean, it just for, like, makes it safer and all that. I'm not, like, pro, like, people shouldn't fucking shoot up heroin. Mm-hmm. But I get that people are going to and pro all of that. And, you know, I think there's therapeutic uses for, like, hallucinogenics and stuff like that. Elon Musk is the strongest argument against it. Because that man has done too many hard drugs and has lost his fucking mind. There are, like, 5 teenagers that that just have access to the Treasury Department's payment system.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Listening.
One of them is 2 years out of high school. Steven, can you imagine having access to the most, like, some of the most sensitive, like, payment information in the country at 20 years old or whatever?
No. God, no. Nor should I.
And we're not journalists. I'm just reporting on stuff I've heard. Or not reporting. I don't like that. I'm just talking about stuff I've heard. But it's insane.
I consider myself a pretty trustworthy person. I wouldn't want that responsibility.
No.
Like, no one should give me that unless I'm, like, trained to do it and have special security clearance to do it.
What were you doing at 20?
Like,
what's the most sensitive thing you were dealing with at 20?
The fucking payment system at Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah, those are lower stakes.
Yeah.
And even then, you didn't have, like, back-end information.
No. I guess, like, stuff for school, but, like, even that could just ruin me, not ruin multiple people.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it really wasn't until I was, like, post-graduated where I had access to larger databases where I'm like, information here could legitimately hurt someone.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
More of the dumbest timeline.
Anyway.
I do love history because, like, people back then, like, history is just us then. And so you can look back and go, wow, people back then were also pretty fucking stupid if you look hard enough or, like, get into the details.
Yeah.
But damn, dude.
Okay, we've dwelled on the bad.
Yeah.
Was there anything good that happened to you this weekend?
I mostly recharged this weekend. Nice. I was a shell of my former self.
Okay.
I mean, us recording was kind of a haze to me, to be honest. I was so burnt out.
Even I was, because I was post-audition, and I was like, man, my brain is not functioning the way it should.
Yeah, and that's, I mean,
I felt a little bad for your edit.
No, it was fine to edit. It's more just like none of it went into long-term memory. It all stayed in short-term memory. And so I mostly just relaxed this weekend. Like, I did something I never do. I canceled plans.
Whoa!
I canceled 2 different plans.
Look at you go.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Because I had something planned for every single day. What about you? What's good for you? Relaxing and recharging was good for me. And I'm reading scripts. We have final scripts for Black Cat Theater's next production that I'm reading through. And that was opening that up and getting to do some artistic work instead of just administrative work. That was nice.
Attaboy. I didn't relax entirely. Like, I had bits of that and I had bits of doing things, which was probably important. My biggest regret is that I tried to take a nap on Sunday and I could not fall asleep. It was driving me nuts. I don't know if it was just my brain was thinking about other things. I couldn't get my body to relax or what. Couldn't do it.
You know, even laying there with your eyes closed does help.
It does help, but...
like, scientifically.
I feel like I could have used a full-on go-down sleep, especially today. Today I woke up early and went to the gym, and even at 9:30 a.m. I was like, oh man, I'm tired. I'm a sleepy boy.
What time did you try to nap? This is important.
It was probably about 2.
Okay, so it wasn't a nap trap.
What is a nap trap?
When you take a nap too late in the day and then you can't fall asleep at night.
No.
I am not always blessed with health, but I am blessed in that I can fall asleep almost whenever I want. And I can just wake back up and be fine and then go back to bed later. Like, I, on Sunday, took a, like, half an hour to 45-minute nap at 6:30 p.m.
I'm usually pretty good about that, but for whatever reason, couldn't fall asleep.
Well.
Maybe I'm just thinking about the audition too much. My brain's like, give me the job, give me the job.
By the time this comes out, you'll be cast.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
No, I can't say that kind of stuff anymore because you'll think I know something. I don't know. I don't know anybody at Metropolis.
I wouldn't expect you to know this. From knowing what I know from their callback, like, they're slower on the upkeep.
Yeah.
So, like, no shame. They're going to take their due diligence.
God, I hope you and Catherine are in that together.
God, that would be fun.
That'd be very fun.
Do a show with Catherine.
Again.
Twice over. You know what else is fun? Emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT. Or on X. No, not on X. I've deleted this part of my brain.
We better not fucking be on X anymore. Are you kidding me?
Technically, the profile is still there, but I haven't posted on it in probably about a year at this point.
Delete
so,
it.
Yeah, we're just going to delete it. I'm going to delete everything except for the thing that says we're no longer on X.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway, Patreon. That's the thing.
Patreon, Reddit, email. Yeah.
Good. Send us things.
Carrier pigeon.
If you can find my house, carrier pigeon, good luck.
The disappointed Mikey B, just hand it to him and he'll walk it to us.
Mikey B
out of his house.
I'm going to do something that we haven't really had to do in a while. I'm condensing emails. Because you guys had so much information about this first episode and this second episode, and a lot of people sent things that are repeats and like elaborations of what everyone else said. So I'm going to do my best to condense and say it, but I want to give credit to everyone that emailed in. So big credit to Michael C., Josh, Tyler, Connor, Carl, like everyone. I want you to know that I appreciate it.
The gang's all here.
But I cannot read all of your emails because they are all lengthy and they're all very detailed. But currently, if I did that, it would probably take 30 to 40 minutes. So
that was a conversation Steve and I've had. Well, like maybe one day we'll have to do this. And then leading to the season, I was like, dude, I think we have to start doing this because this next season seems really popular.
I don't want to do this on the regular, but if we get into situations like this where everyone's super excited and has good information, I may have to because I like it when it's in the audience voice.
Yeah.
I don't like putting it in my voice because then even then it's filtered a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I apologize, I won't get everything, but I'm going to do my best here. The main thoughts that people wanted me to get across, one, we talked about last episode, Joel did not vote for
Mary.
Chet. Or, yeah, sorry.
Wow, you've already forgotten her.
Who's Mary?
Mary's been dead for 15 years.
Joel didn't vote for Mary. Joel did vote for Chet. And other people did, Natalie being one of them, to fill that back around.
It's so weird. It makes even less sense this episode.
The people really wanted us to know about the Johnny Fairplay, Danny Bonaducci power slam at the reality TV awards. And my God, just the people expressing how bad this was for him, that he had to get root canals and...
I mean, no wonder it doesn't seem like his heart's in it and he's tired. He's in pain.
Yeah. And Galman legitimately doing damage to Johnny Fairplay. Like, I think Johnny Fairplay was going to try to coast and be a little more chill about this season and then instantly face to the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad because people comment like he contemplated not doing it because there was thought that there may not be more opportunities for Survivor.
Right. I mean, we're in the era of every season could be the last season.
Exactly. So he's like, well, this might be my last opportunity. I gotta go. Or if I tell them no, they may not come back. So
yeah,
here we go.
You would hope that the show would be like, oh, you have an injury that makes it so you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But I don't give them that benefit of the doubt personally.
I think now they would be better about it than they were at the time. Or even looking, say you're casting season 20 for with the situation and he was like, oh, no, I can't do it. I'm injured. They would be like, ah, screw you. But then at 20, they'd be like, oh, maybe that wasn't fair. Let's try to bring him back.
Yeah, we're in the rub some dirt in it era.
Danny Bonaducci, not a great guy.
No.
Someone sent me a link to the incident.
I remember us watching the video.
Uh-huh.
It's bad.
It's brutal. It's just not great. There were actually three splits in the fan side, like three groups going on, which kind of manipulates what the vote here. Because you think about it and you're like, oh, it's 3 versus 7. But it's not really. It's 3 versus 4 versus 3 more.
Mm.
Which I don't know why Survivor hid that.
I mean, you're also meeting a bunch of people. And that...
Yeah.
And the favorites... Even in an episode when the fans go to Tribal, the favorites take up a lot of the episode because they're good. Like, something I picked out... Like, I was like, why does this feel so different from All-Stars with that tribe? And I realized, well, partially because the players from seasons 9 through 15 are better players with more experience and more history to look back on than 1 through 7. I mean, minus maybe like Pearl Islands and some of Amazon. Like, Borneo, Australia, and Africa, they brought people in being like, surely they've gotten better at the game, and not all of them did.
Yeah. I want to correct myself immediately because people are already typing up a response like, Steven, you fucked it up again. Joel voted for Tracy.
Really? Who can say truly who Joel voted for?
Who's to say? The thought that is Mary would go on to marry Ryan O from Survivor Pearl Islands, who was introduced by Johnny Fairplay.
Oh, yeah.
They later divorced, but like, that's a fun little tidbit there.
That's fun.
She became a CEO. Crazy that an AI could become CEO.
Oh, we're on our way.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yes. One more thing that I wanted to point out. I say one more thing. It's going to be
multiple things. Many more things.
Yeah. Kathy is actually really best friends with Chet to this day. The true homophobe is on the fan side, and once the season is over, I'll have more details on just the complete homophobic acts this person did to Chet. This was coming from Connor. So
wait, you said on the fan side, but
there is a homophobe.
There is one on the okay.
Yeah,
you made it sound contradictory, so I want to make sure you didn't mean favorites. But no. Okay, on the fan side.
But it's not Kathy.
Fascinating. I mean, it could be Joel. It could be Mikey B. They had a weird conversation last episode.
Uh-huh. But also, Kathy is struggling at this point in the game for reasons that we don't get to see. She apparently has been on Zoloft since age 10.
Oh.
And is off Zoloft for this game.
That's not one you're just supposed to stop.
No. And cigarettes. So she cut both out. But she did not tell producers that she was on Zoloft. So for fear of being cut from the game, she didn't tell them.
Yeah, hopefully she tapered down. Because you're really not just supposed to get off of it.
No. It's a terrible idea. Like, wow. It's bad for your brain chemistry.
It's not as bad as Shane in Panama, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I tried to cover as much as I could here, but...
No, it's actually, I wrote down in the notes as well, Kathy is doing the Kathy from Marquesas run, which is, hey, she kind of sucked right away. She seems to be getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing from Josh that Josh wanted to point out, Natalie is ignored in the first 4 episodes, so I'll just point out that her mother is Japanese, so her using the face paint to resemble a geisha is just part of her culture.
I cut it out because it was a little rambly, even though I don't usually. I did say, I was like, maybe Natalie's not white, but then I was like, well, it doesn't really matter, and it kind of trailed off, so get rid of it. But okay, great. Good to know.
Honestly, completely forgot about Natalie, so there you go. Natalie is cute, though. Would like to see more Natalie.
She looks like a model. Like, she has really sharp features.
Yeah. She could walk into just about any modeling agency and be like, bam.
You're hired.
Give me a job. Yao Man was heavily in consideration for the Heroes Tribe, but his unceremonious exit here killed his chances.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And people talk about how Johnny was speculated that he would have gone with the Yao Man side of this.
Mm-hmm.
How that would have changed the game.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that look like? Does Parv go first? Because if Yao Man and Jonathan are in the alliance and then they have Johnny Fairplay with them and Suri isn't going to throw up that much of a stink to make it 5-5, then yeah, Parv probably goes home when Yao Man does.
Okay.
Or when Johnny Fairplay was supposed to. Like, maybe Parv's the first boot.
Could be.
That's wild.
Correction. Yao Man was 55 and Rudy was 75, so their ages aren't even close.
Yeah, okay. I was like, there's no fucking way.
I would like to point out that the Survivor Wiki got that one very wrong.
Wait, Steven, he'd be around that age now. Yao Man then.
Yeah.
Rudy's age then, now.
Yeah.
So that's probably what you were looking at.
No, but the thing said that he was the oldest returnee.
Oh, like the stat. Okay.
Yeah, the stat said, not his. I didn't go looking for his age and like did the math myself.
Jeff runs that wiki and just deleted all stars, huh?
It doesn't exist, actually. Yeah. One unseen thing that Yao Man mentions is his extended exit interview that helped doom him is that when Amy returned from exile, she was fully honest about the idol clues. This indirectly called out Suri, who had lied, and she was not happy about her lies being exposed.
Boom. I that one little thing of Amy saying, yeah, they'll give us the second clue, made me go, that's a weird, that's interesting. God, I love this season.
So, Big props to all of you. Like I said, I tried to condense it as much as I could to get the pertinent information, and I want to make sure that you all feel credited and wanted. If you want to circle back with things that are absolutely necessary to know and I didn't say, go ahead, circle back. But know that everyone is circling back as well. So maybe keep it brief.
Just end up in a whirlpool of the same information.
I love you all, and I don't want this to be taken as a start condensing your stuff.
No, I actually kind of missed you reading it in our listeners' voices.
I agree. Like, I want to say it in their voices because they took the time to write this email and give us all this information. But in this one instance, I am going to pass it. I'm not lying. It was like 10 emails, all very lengthy.
Ah, yes.
So again, big props to all of you. I love you all. Just this one time, I'm shortening it.
Well, maybe we might have to do it again in the future, but
just
we'll try not to.
Just this one time.
That'll not come back to bite us in the ass at all.
Yeah. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on February 28th of 2008. A couple things that happened in the week between episodes. Fidel Castro retires as the president of Cuba due to ill health after nearly 50 years. Famously, good man. No.
John Goodman.
I will say, his streak of attempted assassinations by the CIA to just refuse to die, legendary. Absolutely legendary.
Yeah.
They tried to get that man so hard, and he just went, nah.
They tried to get him what?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
They tried to get him off.
That's why the military invested so much in Viagra. Got it.
They tried to get him off, Steven, just like all the Survivor players say. They Scott said this episode. Global Seed Vault officially opens in Svalbard, Norway, to help preserve diversity and loss of other gene banks.
Okay.
When I said we need more diversity on the show, this is not what I meant.
Oh.
But it is helpful.
Seed Vault, like semen vault.
No.
No?
What? No. I was, no, no.
Global diversity for plants?
No, it's diversity for plants.
Okay.
Different species and genomes. It's not a sperm bank, Steven. Very much not a sperm bank.
Part of me wants to delete it, but no, I'm going to own this shit.
You better.
That's really funny.
I will say, when I edit, I don't take out much most of the time.
I don't really either, unless it's like a non sequitur or like a bunch of ramble or space.
Yeah.
Stupid shit, I leave that shit in.
Former Prime Minister of Thailand, Thaksin Shinawatra, is arrested on corruption charges upon returning to Thailand after months of exile. See, you can hold leaders in power accountable.
Hey.
Although, who's to say, maybe he was framed. I have no idea. I don't know the history of that. That could be a political prosecution. But anyway, it's interesting.
Political prostitution? I'm just bringing everything back to the same thing.
Yeah,
continue.
We're going back to the seed vault for political prostitution.
Yeah.
The top five movies are Step Up to the Streets. We're going to talk about number four. Number three, The Spiderwick Chronicles. Number two, Jumper. And number one, Vantage Point. But Steven, number four in our movie of the week, Fool's Gold. Have you heard of Fool's Gold?
Is this a Matthew McConaughey movie?
It is.
All right, all right, all right.
Treasure hunter Ben Finn Finnegan, Matthew McConaughey, has sunk his marriage to Tess, Kate Hudson, and his trusty boat in his obsessive quest to find the legendary Queen's dowry. When he finds a vital clue that may finally pinpoint the treasure's whereabouts, he drags Tess and her boss, billionaire Nigel Honeycutt. That's a fucking porn name if I've ever heard one. Along on the hunt. But Finn is not the only one interested in the gold. The former mentor-turned-enemy Mo Fitch, Ray Winston. Winstone? I've heard it both ways. We'll stop at nothing to beat him to it. What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
This is a bad movie. I know that this is a very bad movie. Like, atrocious movie. I'm going to go with a critic score of 2.
Whoa, okay.
An audience score of 15.
Critic score of 11.
Okay.
At that amount, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Audience of 48.
What?
It's a little higher.
Okay.
They're two attractive people in a movie. Half people are going to go, yeah, okay. But remember, 48 is still bad. Like, 70 is average.
Yep.
Critics consensus. With little chemistry among the performers, humorless gags, and a predictable storyline, Fool's Gold fails on every level. Maybe I understand why movie theaters are kind of dying off when every week we go through and a top five movie is just garbage.
Yeah.
At least in the first half of the year, every year.
Okay.
That's all.
That's all. All right, then. Then let's get into the episode. Episode 4, that's Baked, Barbecued, and Fried.
Where was that quote?
I don't remember this in the
episode. I don't either.
I was looking for it, and I didn't see it.
Hmm.
So maybe it got deleted, or maybe someone is pulling a fast one on us.
Maybe the real quote was the friends we made along the way.
So...
Oh, maybe it might be the snake.
Oh, could be.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a weird intro.
You mean the lack of one? Or you don't want the last time on, or the...
The last time on.
Oh, okay.
Because... It feels like they're doing the thing where they show us more information than was on the episode, like giving us new clips, and I'm like, hey, wait, what? I didn't see that before.
Okay, which ones are you talking about? Because I felt the same way, and I just thought my dumbass missed stuff.
No, I think, well, one, the collapsing shelter.
Yes, okay. I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, okay, I need to make sure I'm not writing notes like as much, because I'm missing stuff that happened on screen because I have never seen that scene before. Nope, I gaslit myself into thinking, fucking, god
no,
damn it.
We just didn't see it. It didn't exist. Again, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see that.
Considering we both had independent reactions of that, I'm going to say we're probably not wrong, but it's possible.
Yeah, okay. And there were other things, too, that I pointed out that was like, that we've never seen that before. That's weird. We start the episode with the favorites, and Ceri is pissed that Amy wrote her name down.
Yeah, it feels like they didn't have the cameras on. Like, this jumps in, we are already, like, it felt like the conversation between them was, like, starting to spark, and they're like, shit, over here, come on, get over here, get the cameras on them really quickly, because it feels like we've missed, like, we're coming in, like, 15% into the way of a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, no, Ceri's like, no, we don't need to go on a walk. We can just fight right here.
Let's air out our dirty laundry right here. The side plot for this entire episode is Jonathan is standing behind you at all times.
That should have been your intro bit. It's Jonathan, like, behind you right now.
Penner is just there.
It was actually a bit of a problem in Cook Islands, too, where if he felt like he was on the outs, he would, like, follow people.
I'm going to stalk you.
And it's weird. It's weird and upsetting.
It is upset. A lot of people are upset about it in this episode.
Ceri is probably like, well, I go on a walk. He's going to fucking follow us anyway. We need to talk right here.
Got a good point. And he does. Ceri talks about how I didn't trust you, Yao, or Jonathan. Not you, Yao. Jonathan overhears this. He's like, whatever. Yeah, whatever, Ceri. And Ceri's like, I wasn't even talking to you. Get out of my face.
Penner just doubling down on setting himself on fire.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you make when something goes wrong for you, you should just keep making it worse. The Jonathan Penner way.
That's the way I do it.
Also, I do feel kind of bad for Amy. We've gotten, like, none of her. Like, we get little scenes, but little scenes where we're not getting any actual insight into her game. And this was also a problem in Vanuatu.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I didn't realize how in charge Amy was. Like, they made it look like it was Scout. And, like, what did Amy do to the people at CBS?
In her defense, she does get a lot on Exile, that one. Well, no, not on Exile, because she's the one that it gets weathered out. So she gets the one clue, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh.
The one that Kathy's like, ah, let's not.
She does... is partial leading the charge for that one alliance, but it's dominated by screen time by the other alliance, in my opinion, at this time.
Not a great season to be gay. Amy and Chet not getting great looks this season.
Nothing that Amy has done is a bad look.
To be clear, it has nothing to do with them being gay, but it is kind of funny that they both, one's getting buried and one's
burying himself.
Well, yeah, and one's Joel's holding the shovel and just refuses to put dirt in the grave.
Penner's like, hey, the truth is that Ceree is much more manipulative and devious than I am. Do you believe him here?
No. Jonathan is the master of projection. You know what's crazy to me? Ceree never flew off the handle like this in Panama. She was on a tribe with Shane, Courtney, and Danielle, and she never flew off the handle like this. And Bruce, and the fucking freak tribe that I love to death, and she was just chill.
Yeah.
Now, that's also, her growth and taking, control of the game in a more visible way and all of that, but she never screamed at Shane. Jonathan, you are harder to be around than Shane right now.
Mm-hmm.
The man who pretended to have a BlackBerry, stole cocaine, and was having nicotine withdrawal so bad people were worried that he was going to kill them.
He just wants that stump. I want this one. Oh, yeah, that is something to not aspire to be. Worse than Shane.
Oh, God.
I should clarify, worse than Shane in that moment.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And then Ceree ends it with a, I don't trust you, you don't trust me, everyone knows it, done. No more conversation.
That's fine.
I mean, valid.
That's how you have to deal with a Penner. And I just make it sound like I hate Penner. I don't, but man, is he something.
He pisses off a lot of people.
Yeah. He pissed me off.
Yeah.
When he's winning, he's a good guy to have around, but... ooh, not when he's losing.
On the fan side, they're speculating who's going. It probably Eliza or Yao Man.
That's a great read.
It's a great read. I mean, they're right.
Those were the two on the block.
Joel says, there's been some dissension in the people of this tribe. This was good for us to win the last one. We needed some positivity going through.
You also need to win as many immunities as possible because you're not the tribe that should be winning those. So any of those you can sneak in,
take
great.
It. Jason catches an eel that washes ashore. Someone says like a hot dog.
Yeah, fun fact, eel, not like hot dogs.
Not like hot dogs.
Nope.
No.
Though don't put ketchup on an eel either.
Why?
I guess you can. In Chicago, by the way, you don't put ketchup on hot dogs as like a thing. I don't give a shit. Do whatever you want. But there is like a Chicago-style hot dog that if you put ketchup on it, it would be kind of gross with all the other stuff that's on it.
Would it?
Okay, so it's sports pepper, mustard,
ooh, you call
onion.
That a sports pepper?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
I don't know what it's called.
I think that's
sports pepper.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what it's called. I could be wrong. But I've always seen it at sporting events, so I call it sports pepper.
Okay.
Celery, salt, and tomato. Oh, and a pickle. Like a spear pickle.
Tomato is just ketchup.
No, it's not.
It's different form ketchup.
No, there's a lot added to
there's a lot
tomato
added.
To make ketchup, including a lot of sugar.
Yes, it doesn't have to, but in America it does.
Anyway, don't put ketchup on your eel.
Okay. Natalie talks to us about how all she's done so far is keep her head down and work. That is going to keep her around if I just don't ruffle feathers, and I do the work. Chet doesn't do the work.
So Joel has this confession off of this Natalie confession where he basically says, or maybe it's a conversation, I don't remember what the context of it is, but basically Joel just says, yeah, he's gone. Chet's gone. And I immediately went, so he's not gone.
So he's not going.
You're not leaving that in if this was a sure vote. And I don't, they've done a really good job of like not putting in too many like damning clues of what's going to happen in episodes, both in Micronesia and in more recently in China. That was a really big clue that Chet is safe.
I love obscuring the vote, and eventually I want to say Survivor gets better at being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you clues for people that actually go home just to throw you off your rhythm.
Yeah, well, they've done that before. I mean,
that's true.
They've subverted my expectations before, but this one, like, somebody saying into the camera that they are, this person is for sure gone is so far in Survivor a guarantee that they are safe. They might as well have individual immunity around their neck for that episode.
It is the opposite of the kiss of death. It is the kiss of life.
The confession of life.
Ah. Yeah, and then we show Chet just kind of laying around for a while. He's in the lake. Not the lake, the ocean.
That's a big old lake.
It's a very big lake. He's laying in camp. People say you have to pick it up or you're going to go home. Mikey B, it's 2 o'clock and it's Chet's bedtime. He is a physical and mental liability, Chet is. He's gone. Gotta get rid of him.
Oh, Mikey B is the one
Mikey
who said it.
B.
Yeah. Mikey B. Yeah, that must drive Mikey B insane. That not only did he lose his closest ally, it was to keep around Chet, who so far, it would appear from what we see, provides nothing to the tribe. Not in camp, not in challenges, not in his alliance, not in any meaningful way.
Maybe this is a word of warning. Don't single out one person as your number one and show the rest of the world that they are your number one in the first 3 days.
It's what Todd did really well in China. People didn't know that Amanda or Courtney were his number one.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't really have a number one. He had a three, but still.
I'm not saying don't have a number one. Absolutely. Go ahead. Make your number ones. Don't let everyone realize that fast.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So at the favorites tribe, Eliza's sick. Her ears are hurting. Her sinuses are hurting. Her glands are swollen. Knees weak. Arms spaghetti.
This is an interesting set of scenes, these two back-to-back, because it really is showing buyer's remorse on each tribe of like, oh, we got rid of people that would have been better for the tribe and worse for individual players' alliances or like the game going forward, and now we're stuck with these people that aren't contributing as much, although I don't think Eliza's bad.
No.
But she's sick, so that sucks.
She's sick. She's laying around. She's claiming that she needs to rest and be ready for these challenges so that she can push through and be strong, but man... James is dunking on her through this entire section.
And I like Eliza. I can tell she might be a little annoying, like in the immunity challenge when they're hitting her with the pole. Like she could just move out of the way before the pole went and hit her. Like you had ample time to get out of the way. You just made it a thing.
No, she was running defense.
Sure. And in Vanuatu, I was like, they're so mean to Eliza. But now we have two separate groups of people that have just independently decided to be mean to Eliza. And I'm like, do you deserve it? And we just don't know.
I like Eliza.
I do, too.
I don't know what it is about her. Like, she's quirky. She might be a little opinionated and, like, vocal about what she wants. And maybe that's her biggest fault.
It might be that she's lawyery. I mean, she is literally in law school.
Right.
But like, she's always technically right, but maybe a little bit annoying about it.
No, I would absolutely keep her around.
Me too.
But yeah, James is like, oh, we're stupid. It's our fault for keeping her around. Ozzy says she's dying. She can't stand up. And James says...
She's right there the whole time.
I'm all about keeping the strongest people... Well, this is before she's around.
Oh, okay.
We folded to Cerie's will, which was a big mistake. What do you take from that?
It makes it sound like Cerie could be in trouble, or at least a target of James or somebody for James to watch.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't that much more on it. I can't really... Cerie still has some powerful cards in her hand.
Yep.
So I'm not too worried for her yet, but it is something to watch.
Yeah. So they go back to camp. James is still going off on her, and Eliza's like, I'm sitting right here.
Remember in Africa where I said it was really hard to watch that season because they had to all be trapped in the fence and they couldn't, like, go off and talk to each other? Turns out if you would cast these people, it wouldn't have fucking mattered. They would have just said anything right next to each other.
They'll just let her fly for funsies. Yeah, James says, I know, but you're about to die. The snarkiness.
He's so funny.
And Eliza has to defend her contagiousness.
Which, at first, I was like, how do you know you're not contagious? And I was like, oh, the crew probably checked you out. Like, yeah. They probably had medical come and, like, do an exam or something.
Yeah. And then she says, I would do better than Yao Man would do in whatever challenge comes. And I was like, I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
But you know
what?
Defend yourself. That's fine.
I believe that you believe that. And to James and Ozzy's credit, they've... Both of their individual seasons and this season, they are ride or die, make the tribe stronger.
Yep.
And sorry, Eliza, they don't think you make the tribe as strong as Yao Man did.
Yeah. To which Eliza ends it with, I hate these people. I almost wish they got sicker than I am and have to be removed from the game. That's a pretty dark wish right there.
Yeah, but I get it.
That's the one where I'm like, Eliza, I don't know about that.
She's also not a good loser.
But yeah, you're right. She's sick. She's not feeling great. And people are using the shovels right over top of her.
You just know that she was the person who flipped the board playing Monopoly as a kid.
I'm not dead yet. I feel happy. Anyway, reward challenge. 4 tribe members are going to swim out. They have to remove 10 lettered coconuts from a cage and then use those coconuts to unscramble a one-word answer. They are playing for 3 egg-laying hens, a rooster, and feed.
So I'm an idiot.
Why?
When they first showed this challenge and the cameraman went inside the cage, I thought the contestants were going to have to swim into the cage to get the coconuts, and I almost had a panic attack. Like, I was, like, imagining myself trying to do that. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And then I realized, no, that would be stupid. There's no fucking way they would ever make somebody do that.
No. That... Someone could die doing that.
Yeah, it's a long, long cage.
It is a very long cage, and that's kind of the gist of this challenge, is that it's not just a go down, pull the coconut out. It's a go down, push it along this cage until it can float out.
I feel kind of bad for the editors here.
Why?
Because this challenge is over the minute that Ozzy outsmarted it.
Yeah.
But this isn't one that you can, like, jump ahead too far. Like, you still have to show all of the steps to get to the end to make it coherent. It isn't, like, one of those really long challenges where they could kind of, like, just speed or, you know, do jump cuts 15 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is, it's, like, 5 minutes long and it's over in 15 seconds. And Jeff is trying his hardest to keep the tension going, but there's nothing tense about it.
No. And, like you said, Ozzy goes down, he pushes all the coconuts. He doesn't remove the coconuts. He just pushes every single one down to the edge of this cage.
He golden retrievers it. Yeah, nobody said that a golden retriever can't push all the coconuts to the end of the cage.
Yeah. The challenge was meant for them to all go down and individually push it along this cage. But Ozzy says, no. I good swimmer. I push through cage.
I mean, it's literally the thought process of, like, any time you're creating, like, an efficient work structure, right? Mm-hmm. It's like an assembly line.
Yeah.
You do as much as possible in one, like, all at once. Like, you do one step as many times as possible. That's repeatable. Mm-hmm. Doing it all, and it's why you don't, like, moving, you don't have one person go from, like, the truck to the car, or the truck to the house and back and forth. You have one person bring it to the front door, back to the truck. Like, it's so much more efficient and so obvious, but good on him, because I don't know if I would have thought of it.
No, it was a good move, and like you said, he wins this game from the get-go, because the fans get 2 before he gets 1, and then suddenly it's 1 for the favorites, 2 for the favorites, 3 for the favorites, 4 for the favorites. The favorites get all their coconuts and get back to shore with their coconuts well before, I think they were at like 6.
I think so, yeah. And even the way that Ozzy did this was so smart, beyond just like, oh yeah, get them all to one end. He gets, I think it's like 5 or 6 of them to the end at once. Not all 10.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives him enough time to, like, get his breath back.
Yep.
They do 2 rounds each or so, and then he goes and gets the rest of them.
Yeah. He doesn't need them all. He just got to get enough for people to go one cycle.
So that nobody else has to swim any farther than the entrance of that cage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Ozzy.
One little moment that could have been a very funny thing was Jason, his coconut pops up. He's up there grabbing it. And then Penner's pops up close to him. And he goes to reach for it to, like, throw Penner's away. But he doesn't grab it before Penner does.
How far away do you think he's allowed to throw it?
I don't know that he was allowed to throw it. But, man, he got real close.
Just, like, overhand chuck it as far as possible.
Yeah. If it's not against the rules, then why not?
Nobody says a golden retriever can't ruin the challenge.
We get back to shore. I should say the favorites get back to shore with the coconuts. And they're trying to unscramble this word. And James solves it. And he says it. And he's like, if I come up with the damn puzzle, come on.
No, he said it, and then he said after that. Yeah, it wasn't like at the start of it, and then he came up with it. Like,
no, he said it. He's like, oh, that could be it. Man, I'm not the puzzle guy. Don't make me be right here. And he is triumphant.
I mean, it's not a complicated puzzle.
No.
It's a word search.
It is one more difficult word than we've seen that's like one word answer.
Yeah, but you don't, it's not like an intricate, like, it's not the China final three where it's like the Tetris puzzle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, James, anybody can have the aha moment for a word.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I did want to point out a cinematography thing, because Micronesia, I guess Palau, is so fucking beautiful. Like, Mikey B, his first jump into the water, there's a school of fish that swim, like, alongside him as he's diving in the water, and, like, god damn, is it?
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Flights are like $1,500.
Oh, really?
When I was looking up the Palau Micronesia thing, the first thing, of course, when you look up a destination like that is it shows like flight prices, and the cheapest one is like $1,500, something like that.
Oh, okay. So they win the chickens, and they send Kathy back to exile. At what point do you stop feeling bad for Kathy?
You gotta do something, Survivor. Not in this season, you're fucked this season, but you gotta do something about how people get chosen to go to exile or something, because this is never gonna not happen.
Kathy is playing two games, one at her camp and one on exile.
Yeah, but she, as we'll talk about, doesn't even try to find the idol anymore.
No. She's given up.
What the fuck are you doing? Is her goal now to, like, make it so that she keeps an eye on the favorites so that none of them get it?
Maybe.
If so, she did a bad job.
Yes. It seems like she's just kind of given up and is trying to make ends with these favorites and, like, be their friend.
You can do both.
You can.
I was kind of surprised there wasn't two idols. We'll get to that, though.
Yeah. So, like we said, Kathy's going to exile. Ozzy's going to go with her. And then we jump to the fans' camp. Everyone's kind of bummed out. Joel says, always a bummer to lose. They're living the life of luxury, and we got Jack Squad.
I forget who the girl is, the one who had the please clap moment in the second episode. She's just like, oh, I want to go to exile.
It was Alexis.
Alexis, yeah. You just want to flirt with Ozzy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I mean, yeah. I get it.
Ozzy's the best physical competitor in Survivor history.
Oh, no, she said survival history.
She did say survival history. I knew what she meant, though.
I know, yeah, me too.
As someone who talks into a microphone and just says wrong words all the time. I get it.
What? Do you think she's right? Do you think he's the best physical player in Survivor history through what we've seen?
Overall, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think people could look at different things as the best fit. Like, James is a physical specimen.
True.
But is he always right for Survivor? No.
Well, and just the swimming aspect alone.
Yeah.
Puts Ozzy in a different category. Like, we aren't even 100% sure if James can swim.
But Ozzy, he's strong. He can do strength challenges. He can do swimming challenges better than anyone we've seen thus far.
He's the challenge beast.
He is a beast. Yep. And Eric really piles on for Kathy. She's weak. She's not looking for the idol. She's in the fetal position.
Which I was like, dude, of course she's looking for the idol.
And then we flip to exile. And Kathy, she's not looking for the idol. She's given up.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
She flirts with Ozzy a little bit. Yo, for a scrawny little kid, you're strong.
That like 80s Midwestern mom flirting.
Oh yeah. All right. Look, you chop that wood. Oh, jeez. That's nice. Anyway.
You turn into Linda Belcher a little bit.
That's nice.
I can't do the voice. Anyway.
You were almost at Lois Griffin, or not even Lois, Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin doing an impression of Linda Belcher. God, I hate Family Guy.
Do you? Like, where it is, or just the concept of it entirely?
I think I also don't like the fan base that it created. I think it was really clever for a little while.
Yeah, I think, like, the first five seasons were really good.
Yeah. But then the style of it just kind of wore on me, and now even going back to those, I'm like,
That's fair. It's like Rick and Morty. Like, yeah. It turns into a cultural moment, and then suddenly you're like, oh, this brought people out of the woodwork to her, like,
we've talked about that before.
Yeah,
I will say I was reminded of a moment in Rick and Morty. It's the fucking Pickle Rick episode.
Yeah,
but like the end where the therapist is like, no, it's not some big adventure, it's boring, it's flossing, and that's why you hate doing it, kind of like that whole speech. I was like that is a really good fucking speech, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
isn't that therapist someone famous?
I think so, probably.
It's a very famous actress. It's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Ozzy. Exile.
Yeah. Ozzy's just going to go look for some food. Casually finds four clues in an idol.
Kathy, I'm going to go find some food in the same direction as the clues you know exist.
Like, not only did he go and find the clues all while Kathy was not looking, he found all of them and just like swimming around here.
Which I think there's only four. I think Serena and Kathy found all four then too. They just didn't find the idol.
I think they found the third one, telling them where to go to the fourth one, and they didn't go to the fourth one.
Okay, gotcha.
But yes, that would have put them one clue away from the idol.
So the idol's right back where they started.
Yes.
Fuck off.
It's always the case with these bullshit runaround adventures.
Yeah, actually enough video games would have gotten you there, yeah. I think. Yeah. But this sequence is great.
Yes.
Like, I know we got a little rabbit hole, and sometimes that can happen when there isn't a lot to talk about. There's so much to talk about. We just got on a side tangent about Rick and Morty. As we do, I guess.
As you do.
But this whole, like, sequence of Ozzy running around from clue to clue is really good. It's a great journey we take with him. I really enjoyed it. I was rooting for him the whole time. Like, fuck yeah. Yeah. And I love to see his growth. I kind of fucking hated Ozzy in the beginning of Cook Islands. There's so much growth from all of the people this season that aren't named Amy and maybe Eliza. So, I guess actually James is pretty much the same as he was.
Sure, yeah. So, like you said, Ozzy found the idol. He puts the idol in the hat because he is trying to hide it from Kathy. He wears it and it looks super not natural.
No.
Not even slightly natural. And Kathy's not noticing a damn thing.
Notice shit.
Nah. He then takes his hat off and puts it over his bag and like awkwardly pushes it down into the bag. And then he makes a fake idol in tribute to Yao Man.
Does he make a fake idol, Steven? Or does he make a weapon to kill Dracula?
He makes a stick that is kind of sharpened.
Listen, I love the tribute to Yao Man. I love the idea.
Uh-huh.
The execution needs some work.
Yes.
That was not good.
And I'll give him a little slice of credit that he was doing it while trying not to get caught.
Right, and he almost did get caught. He was, like, sitting on all of the tools.
Yeah. So, like,
And I will say, it being, like, or putting it back in the wrapping is, it does help. Which they've done before, too.
Uh-huh. But yes, do your best, I guess, in a time crunch.
And I do think it helps him for this fake idol that the season doesn't have a specific theming. Like, there hasn't been, besides just like general Polynesia. There hasn't been like a strong, like, visual theme of the season, so you might be able to get away with a sharpened stick. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, but maybe if the right person finds it. Hey, so what was the plan if they worked together to find the idol? Because there's only one in there.
First person who touches it.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So anyway, he names his fake idol Igor, the immunity idol.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Wow, we have another attorney from Marquesas.
And he's really excited because he hopes someone plays it.
I do too.
Mm.
I do too.
Anyway, back at the favorites camp, we are naming Charlie. Charlie the rooster. He's not going to live long. And Eliza says, you might be headed to the slaughterhouse today, but you know what? I might be too.
And I do think she would be if they would have lost this challenge.
Correct. She goes and she asks Parv to spare her because, like, you can't trust Jonathan, right? Keep me around. I will be loyal to you to the end. You can't say the same of Jonathan. And Jonathan, Parv says, well, I can.
No, no. She says, Jonathan won't make that promise to you. And she goes, Jonathan will make that promise, but he won't keep it.
Exactly. And then they're talking about how Jonathan sucks.
And then a tactical Jonathan is shot out of a cannon as if his name was said three times and he's Beetlejuice.
It was honestly impressive camera work by the cameraman.
Yeah.
Because it's a shot of the two, and then right down the middle, here comes Jonathan, and then we zoom in on Jonathan coming. Meow. It's great. Ugh.
You know what's the best strategy, Steven?
What?
Approaching, especially women, at a high rate of speed behind them without their knowledge or invitation.
Yeah.
That really is a great way to make friends and allies.
Probably not great.
Mm.
Anyway.
You've already isolated you already didn't have Parv, but you've and isolated Ceri, and now you're also maybe doing it to Eliza.
Yeah.
Great.
So he overhears what they're talking about. He definitely hears his name, and he, like, walks fast past them to let them know that he heard them. And the girls are like, what the fuck?
It's weird.
Did he follow us?
He might as well just said, on your left. Or hot. Like he's coming through a kitchen.
I think he misheard, because he thinks that Eliza's selling him down the river, and she is, don't get me
wrong. She was, yeah.
But Parv was the one saying the things.
Yeah, I think it's inference, too, of like, oh, Eliza's bringing it up to try to save herself to Parv, who I already know doesn't like me.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Jonathan says, it's so painful to watch someone on the outside trying to get back on the inside. I totally understand, but I feel sorry for her. And Parv reacted to the same thing. She should be saying anything she can to save herself. It's the right thing to do.
At least he recognizes that.
It might not save her, but she should be trying it.
Was it Candace in Cook Islands that he got in that screaming match with?
I don't remember.
Can you imagine if they had been on the same tribe? Yes. Yeah, it was Candace, yeah.
Yes, they were.
No, if they were on the fan versus favorites, like if she came back instead of Parv.
Okay. Anyway, immunity challenge. We are... Oh, okay. Well, first, Ozzy comes back. He's like, oh, man, looking for the idol a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just clues, and then you go find it.
And this is one of those times as a viewer, I go, Jeff, you're giving it away. And then I know that he probably asks that kind of shit every time. They cut it out when it's not relevant or there's not a good answer. Ozzy plays pretty well, though.
It's not bad. It could raise some flags, but again, if no one is, like, if we're not seeing this from other people,
yeah.
So there's a meme out there that I was trying to find so hard before this of the everlasting challenge instructions from Jeff. This is what this challenge felt like.
Okay.
It's so funny. I'm going to have to find it because it's literally just Jeff explaining things, and they splice together challenge clips of him explaining it, of a challenge that just goes on forever. And this challenge had so many pieces to it that he had to explain. First, you go and attach yourself to a 6-point sliding hub. There are 6 locks you have to unlock. Each individually, there is a key ring with 6 keys. Each key unlocks only 1 lock. You must then pass it around to unlock each other. Then you must maneuver through the forest using the hub to guide yourself. You must then collect money bead necklaces, 6 in total. You must then take the 6 bead necklaces to the decoding wheel to solve a 3-word phrase.
to unlock a decoder ring. She must then have the nuclear football. Three people must speak the phrase into the phone at the same time.
The whole time, I was just thinking about this video of him explaining a challenge that goes on forever.
It is so many instructions. God, that's a lot. I've not laughed that hard in a long time.
I'm going to skip through this challenge because it's over before it even begun.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say is there's a big advantage of the favorites that we probably haven't talked about, which is just like cohesion and communication. They know how to communicate in challenges because they've literally all done it before, and they've done it for vast amounts of time because all of them made it very far in their seasons.
Sure.
I like the 6-point harness thing. They've used it before. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And clearly they didn't get to build a very big course, and that's why they had to do this stupid fucking lock thing, because the course was too short and the locks were too long.
Correct.
And it was miserable watching people just fumble with keys and Jeff try to make it exciting.
It was literally, it's just Eric trying to figure out a key for a really long time.
Yeah, that ain't it.
That ain't
it. Watching people try to figure out keys and locks, not fun. Ugh. Not good mechanic. And I think Jeff knows that when he talks about how there's a bit of luck involved.
Yeah. Yep. So the fans, they get their last lock unlocked about when they get all of the necklaces back to the puzzle makers. So
I did think the puzzle would be harder.
It should be.
Fair. They just have good puzzle people.
Well,
the first word being tribe makes it a little easier, because I think that's the word you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, it seems much easier to deduce.
I'm saying that the challenge should have been harder, not that the puzzle masters were amazing. And they are. They're good puzzlers. Mm-hmm. But like, you give good puzzlers an easy puzzle.
Yeah.
Suddenly, we're done. Yeah. And like we talked about, the fans almost take out Eliza, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Get out of the way. Don't, like, they shouldn't be all the way over there. And also, you saw them coming. You had plenty of time.
I'm wondering if Jeff gives instructions that the puzzle people have to stay on that platform.
Oh, maybe.
And that's what she was reacting to.
I do like Eliza. I mean, I realize I sounded mean to her, but I do like her.
I mean, you and James and Ozzy as well.
It's just when so many people are saying that you're bad to be around, I do start to wonder the validity of their statements. If everywhere you go smells like shit, check your shoes.
No. I mean, yes. Please do, especially when you walk into my home to record this podcast.
If everywhere you go smells like cat piss, check your rug.
Have we talked about the rug?
I think so. Oh, it still smells a little bit like piss.
It does. That's why I tried to spray it before you got here. But I can't just... Ugh.
You can.
I cannot.
Well, you're not allowed to, but you could.
I could get rid of it. I would get very much in trouble. That would be a bad Steven.
Yeah.
Anyway, back at the fans camp, Mikey B's pissed. We lost again. Not Mikey even close. B. Mikey B.
I'm kind of glad he goes home, so we have to keep doing that.
Joel stabbed me in the back once, but I want to keep him around until right before the merge and then cut him.
Ope.
And there's your fatal flaw, my friend.
Well, I will say, he goes on about how we've lost, we're the loser tribe. I'm like, you guys are 50-50 in immunities. I guess you've lost 6 out of 8. No, that doesn't sound right. Because they didn't have a chance. They only had one challenge one episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe like 5 out of 7. But it's not like you guys are, it isn't Palau, where it is actually literally physically Palau, but it's not, you guys have lost literally every single challenge.
Correct.
Or like Pearl Islands. So like, you guys aren't getting decimated in numbers, at least.
He then goes to Joel and to like kind of get in with him and be like, hey, bygones are bygones. But he weirdly pressures him in the way that I think sealed his fate.
I think it 15% sealed his fate.
I think it set up the dominoes to seal his fate.
Mm.
Tracy came in and kicked him down.
Dude, I'm excited to talk about Tracy.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I noticed for the first time, I've seen them before, but I didn't realize what they were or could be. The hand tattoos on Joel's like inner shoulders that have a date on them.
Mm.
So either those are like the birth dates of his children or something very tragic happened. Either way, there's a story there.
There's a story. So yeah, he goes around, he's like weirdly threatening Joel, and Joel is not really putting up much of a fight. He kind of just like takes it. Joel is very introspective here,
mm-hmm.
in a way that the first couple episodes don't really paint him that way.
Say what you want about Joel, and I think we will a lot because he has a strong personality and reeks of evil, but he knows when to shut the fuck up at camp.
Yeah.
And he's way more subtle than you think he should be able to be.
So then Tracy and Chet are kind of confronting him and being like, so it's one of us, right? But here's the thing. Tracy goes on and says, it doesn't have to be. She knows if Chet goes tonight, then Kathy's next, and then I'm after that. It's just a series of dominoes. I have nobody left around me. So she's pushing so hard to, like, make Joel realize that, hey, if you want to take control of the game, do it now.
And she's inflaming his pride.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like, you have tonight, and if not, Mikey B wins. Like, if you go, if you don't, maybe not the game, but the fight between the two of you.
Well, why are you letting him call the shots? Why does he get to be the one to do it?
Yeah.
You're rolling over to him. He will take you out. The writing's on the wall. I'm intuitive. I know these things. He doesn't trust you. It's, honestly, it's a good move.
It's good and it's accurate because Joel's already been feeling those things.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and we saw it from Mikey B. Mikey B said, I'm going to get rid of him right before the merge if I can.
Yep.
Like, if somebody's gunning for you, you got to get them first. And Tracy, this is one of the more convincing pitches I can remember hearing from somebody that shouldn't have any power.
Yeah.
This is what I've wanted somebody to do for so long, and people have done it, but not usually successfully, especially not this successfully.
It was great, and she lays it all out for him. All you need is one. You just got to go get someone to vote with you, and boom.
And I think she's right. If you don't do it this time, well, then you got to pull two of them, and I don't think that's going to happen. Like,
yep.
You don't have us. You have one less of us.
It's brilliant. All in all, great move. So, we get to Tribal.
Oh, and she played right at his ambition. I said pride, but I think even more ambition.
Sure.
More than anything else. Like, I would, before this episode, I didn't give a shit about Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really excited for Tracy. And I do want to show you the old person's shelter. Like, this is the first time that we've, the nursing home. I was going to call it the leprosy hut, but I think I like nursing home better.
Nursing home is better.
Because it's so small. It looks like a place you send somebody who's sick to be quarantined.
Sure.
But yeah, no, the nursing home is actually really nicely constructed. We hadn't really gotten like a good look at it in a while.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Anyway, Tribal.
Jeff starts out with a, sorry to see you guys here, which is a weird vibe.
It was a weird vibe.
Like, do you say that to everyone who comes to Tribal?
I don't think so. It felt weirdly pitying. Almost like he's like, sorry we put you up against some of the best to ever play this game your first time.
Yeah.
Sucks to suck, I guess.
Sorry, dummies. Joel says the weaker our individuals are, the weaker we are as a team. Really, this is trying to lead us down to, yeah, we're getting rid of Chet. Like, he's gone.
You mean Jason said that or Joel?
No, it was Joel.
Joel, okay.
Yeah.
Because Jason has a little bit in the beginning that's just monotone and says nothing. Just like, we are getting rid of the weak one.
Yeah. Yeah. Chet talks a little bit about how he feels good other than his first challenge. And everyone goes, you sure about that?
You need any self-awareness, my guy.
Mikey hammers it with a, I don't think he had the physical strength to compete. And this was a great move by Tracy. Once again, Tracy says, I didn't compete. Kathy didn't compete today. Chet didn't compete. Uh-huh. And we still lost. So I don't know what you're talking about with this strength crap.
She is really fucking good, dude.
She's really good.
That was such a good fucking move to go, well, we sat out and we lost, so yeah. What do you mean?
Nothing that we did in that challenge made us lose. So, strength? I don't know about that.
God. It's so impressive. I'm struggling with the words to talk about how impressive it is.
This is one of the most impressive 10 minutes of an episode for any one person.
Especially for somebody on a season that is so jam-packed with, on the other tribe, even on her own tribe, though, like, charismatic, interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
This is so incredible.
Yeah. Eric talks about how there's more to this game than physical strength. You could run into a wall 100 times, but that's not the best way to get rid of a wall.
You had me in the first half.
Yeah. I was like, okay, yeah. No.
The Kool-Aid man would disagree, and you had me in the first half of the thing I've been saying for fucking ever, that there are different forms of strength.
Correct. And then Jeff says, all right, well, it's time to...
Whoa.
Again, Jason says, I need to emphasize the importance of tonight's vote in determining the future of this tribe. Do you think Jason knew the writing on the wall?
I think he sniffed it out during Tribal,
mm-hmm.
And I think this is the closest we've gotten to a live tribal.
It's real close.
I thought for sure we were about to break into Jason being like talking openly about who he's going to vote and what other people are going to vote and trying to like make deals there at tribal.
Yep. Anyway, we then vote and Mikey B is gone on a 5-4 line.
Wow.
It all came together real quickly.
Steven, do you like it when I say things like, well, of course you have to keep someone like Mikey B around for the early game, and then he goes home the next time they go to tribal?
Yeah.
And how I said there's no way Joel's going to team back up with the older people.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to be fair, without Tracy doing that move, it wasn't going to happen. I did not see Tracy coming out of left field.
Yeah, that's funny. How do you think Mikey B does in Future Survivor?
I mean, better than that. Like, I don't, yeah. There's usually not a Joel and a Tracy there to cut him off immediately. And I think in a game without favorites on the other side, you are less, I think he's a little more necessary in some way. I don't know why I feel that way, but I do. I'm having a hard time articulating that. But regardless, he's the leader of your tribe, I think, in most seasons. Like, he's, people listened to him and fell in line pretty quickly. And that usually means you make the merge. I think he's probably like the leader of the alliance that gets their head chopped off, though.
Mm.
I mean, it kind of happened to like Aaron and China, but I think usually he makes it into the merge and then is an early merge casualty when people shift up the power balance.
Mm. Okay.
His game sense isn't that good. He seems like he has a hard time with keeping votes on his side. And that's the time of the game you need that the most.
Yeah, I think he struggled as a leader in that he tried to push narratives, but he didn't listen to other people very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of his downfall.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he does not come back. Not really surprising.
Yeah, I don't think a fourth vote off comes back very often.
No. There is an IGN interview. There's some interesting stuff in there, but a lot of it feels pretty curt and like, I don't know, he just seems like a straight shooter kind of guy. Like,
sure,
I'm just saying the first thing that comes off of my head, but it's usually a short sentence.
Ah, okay.
So, like, I don't know. He talks about how, like, he watched the show from the beginning. He was pissed that he played against, like, he showed up and he was like, oh, great, we're playing against people who've played this game before. Sure. I thought it was a distinct advantage on their part.
It is.
He never made a final two with Mary. I told her that I wouldn't vote for her. She told me she wouldn't vote for me, but I had the same thing with Alexis and Joel and Jason.
Well.
No. Somebody broke that.
Yeah, not a deal that was kept. Is that why Joel didn't vote for him? Because he's like, I said I wouldn't, so you have to do it for me.
Oh, maybe.
On a technicality.
Yeah. Getting by, skating by.
Oh, wait, no, that'd be with Mary, because he did vote for him this time. Nah, anyway.
And leading up to that, did you have any sense of how uneasy Joel was? No, I knew he was uncomfortable with taking a leadership role, which a lot of people wanted him to do, but I didn't think he was going to be dumb enough, for lack of a better word, to actually go through with it.
Hmm. The look on his face when he holds up the vote for Mikey B was personal.
It was very personal.
And smug.
Yeah. So, yeah. And your protagonist of the episode.
It should be two people, but I can only pick one. So I guess I'll make it Tracy. But Ozzy is a very close second. I mean, the episode where you find an idol
is big.
It's really, really big.
I mean, the way that they advertised for it, where they're like, you're not going to want to miss this exile island.
Yeah, but the actual, like, Tracy just flipped the entire game for the fans on its head. And she ended up being even more right than she knew, since we apparently have a tribe swap coming next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't get rid of Mikey B if it's not in the same tribe as you.
Uh-huh.
That makes it much harder. Maybe the other tribe would just do it for you, but you can't bank on that. The next time On does show, apparently Penner's going to lose his leg. But I think he's fine and being dramatic, and Eliza's being sarcastic in that interview. And they are trying to make it more dramatic than it actually is, and trying to bait me again.
That's probably a good call.
Yeah. And, Mikey B's postgame was really fucking salty.
Yeah.
It was really salty.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
That is all.
That is all. All right. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Trading Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you'd like to promote?
Hi, it's that time of the season again. Please review us. That would be great. For every episode that comes out without a new review, I will remove one of Steven's toenails.
No.
You agreed to this already.
I did not.
I have it signed.
Stop.
I have the contract. And it can be written in your blood if we don't get a review after this episode. Bits aside, or is it a bit? We've gotten more lately, and I know I've said it other seasons too, but like, as we've gotten bigger, then the more we've grown has also been exponential. So before it'd be like, we got 10 new people, and that was a lot, because it was like when we had first started, and now we actually have like a sizable number of people. So thank y'all. Word of mouth, reviews, we love to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote making more videos like the Survivor Unlimited Challenge Instructions.
I haven't seen it, and it still makes me laugh.
It's so funny, and I can't find the video. I'm happy.
Me too. God, this is such a good season, just all around. And China was good, but difficult. Basically, the last three seasons have been hard to talk about, and this season is so fun.
It's not even, like, all good vibes. It's just good gameplay and good show.
Yeah, and feels less producer heavy. Well, first of all, I don't have to talk about Race War, but then the two before that feel less like the show's trying to like mold exactly what it wants out of either the circumstances or the editing and just letting the game happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
My host Steven, this is Jared.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.